Okay, midterm two has some good problems on it. The first one was the falling dog, okay? Here's the picture. The dog is going to fall off the top of a building, and there is an airbag below to safely stop him in his fall. We're told that the airbag will stop him over a distance of 1 meter. We're told that he falls a distance of 10 meters. Onto the airbag. So he's speeding up as he falls, but then he's slowing down as after he hits the airbag and comes to rest after a further 1 meter in the airbag. So notice the total distance that he falls is 11 meters. That's going to be an important point. We're told that the dog weighs 10 kilograms. A brave little dog. And what we're asked is, as he is brought to a stop by the airbag, what is the force F that the airbag exerts on the dog to slow him down and stop him safely? Okay, how do we do this? Well, how are we going to calculate the force? There are a couple of ways of doing it. One is to figure out what the acceleration of the dog is as he's brought to a stop. And then from F equals ma, we can calculate the force. How do we calculate the acceleration? We can use one of those constant acceleration formulas. So there are two steps here. While dog is falling, the expression for the velocity is v squared. For the whole fall, v squared equals twice the acceleration times the distance fallen, which is 10 meters, okay? So he starts with a zero velocity at the top. By the time he gets down here, he has velocity v. In fact, let's call that v1. If we call the velocity at the top v0, which is just zero, and the velocity just before he hits the airbag v1, then, let's see, I should explain where I got this formula. The formula is v1 squared minus v0 squared equals twice the acceleration times y1 minus y0. The acceleration equals minus g, it's downward, y1 minus y0, that's 10 meters, v0 is 0, put all that in, and you find v1 squared is 2g times, oh, I should have said more carefully, y1 minus y0. y1 is lower than y0, so that's a negative number. That's minus 10. But there's also a negative sign on the acceleration, so that's why this turned out to be a positive number on the right. You can check that, by the way, because if you had v squared equals some negative number, then something's wrong. In fact, it's trying to tell you the dog never gets there. But if he falls, he's going to get there. There's no question about that. Okay, so we've got him down as far as the top of the airbag. What happens then? Well, v2, his speed when he hits the bottom of the airbag is zero because he's been safely brought to a stop. That's over some further distance. Y1 minus Y2. Okay, so once again, we have constant acceleration, except now A is an unknown. Because he's falling downward but then slowing down and stopping, that counts as a positive acceleration. Thought of as a vector, the acceleration is an upward direction, right? So let's solve this equation. Well, v2 is 0. v1 is whatever we calculated here. We'll put that in a second. y2 minus y1 is minus 1 meters. And so the formula for A we just solve this equation for A, it's V1 squared over 2 times 1, over 2 times 1 meter, that's 2 meters. So here's the acceleration, it's V1 squared divided by 2 meters. Well, what's V1 squared? We got it up here, and so we just plug that in. V1 squared is 2g times 10 meters, and that's divided by 2 meters. So let's do the math now. 10 meters over 2 meters, that's 5, times a factor of 2, that's 10. The acceleration is 10 g's, 10 times the acceleration of gravity. So we're getting there. That's the acceleration, A, doing this slowing down in the airbag stage. Now, you might jump to the conclusion, okay, the force must be 10 times the force of gravity. That's close, but it's not right. And the reason is, while the dog is falling through the airbag, he is still subject to gravity. So not only does the force have to slow him down, it has to make up for the force of gravity. Let's talk about that more carefully. Here's a picture of the dog while he's slowing down in the airbag. Okay, he's going down into the airbag. Let's draw a free body diagram for the dog. There is some force mg, let's draw it as a smaller arrow, mg downwards, because he's still subject to gravity even while he's falling. Everything is always subject to gravity everywhere on Earth. And then there's some unknown force F in the upward direction. Let's call that F airbag, FAB for F airbag. That's the airbag force. So the total force, and this other thing was the force of gravity. So the total force on the dog is force of the airbag plus the force of gravity. All of that is in the y direction, so let's take the y component of things. The total force is the unknown airbag force minus mg. And if we solve that equation, let's not even solve it yet. Let's now use Newton's second law. Newton says F equals ma. We just calculated the acceleration here. It's 10g. So the total force has to be 10mg. But now we have to solve for the unknown F. And so F airbag, y component of it, is 10mg plus mg. By the time we solve the equation, it has to be 11mg. So the force has to stop the dog and make up for gravity while the dog is stopping as well. And that's why it turns out to be 10 plus 1 mg's or 11 mg's. Put in the numbers, and that all works out to 1078 newtons. So indeed, that's one of the choices on the problem. Okay. However, now that we know energy, we can solve this problem in a different way. Let's go through it from the energy point of view. Okay, so how do we do that? Well, let me leave the answer down here, but then redo the problem. And you'll recognize some of the equations as we go, but it's a little easier to do it by energy. Because what we can do is just look at the whole process. Dog starts, dog hits the airbag, dog stops. And we just take that as one complete process. We don't have to break it down into the first part and the second part, the free fall part and the airbag part. So the energy way of doing it is going to say K2 plus U2 equals K0 plus U0. K0 is his kinetic energy when he starts to fall. That's zero because his speed is zero to start with. What's his potential energy? Well, it's mg times his height above the bottom of the airbag, above the ground. What is that height? It's 10 plus 1 meters. It's 11 meters. Okay. And there's the 11 already. It's the same 11 we found down here, except now we're getting it immediately. What is K2? Well, he's been stopped by the airbag now. I forgot one important thing. If no external forces acted on the dog besides gravity, this would be the right equation. But there's one more force in here. We consider the force of the airbag as a work other term. So K2 plus U2 equals K0 plus U0 minus the other work. And in this case, that's the work of the airbag, bringing him to a stop. Okay. And what's K2? That's zero, because he stopped. V2 is zero. What's U2? Well, he's at height zero after he stopped. He's right at the ground. So U2 is also zero. And so the only non-zero terms in this equation are the gravitational potential energy that the dog had initially, and the work done by the airbag. So that work is equal to mg times 11 meters. What is the work done by the airbag? Well, it's the force times the distance. Work done by a force is force times distance. The forces are unknown, force airbag. The distance is evidently 1 meter. That's the difference, the distance over which the airbag operates. And this is equal to mg times 11 meters. So we're there. We're already at the answer. We just divide by 1 meter on both sides of the equation, and we get the airbag force is 11 times mg. Same answer we got down here. But we got it quite a bit faster by using energy. So I hope this shows you that when it's appropriate, solving an equation by energy can be quite a bit faster than doing it some other way. And a bit more foolproof, too. You don't have to work through all the details and do a lot of algebra. Okay, another problem had to do with an elevator. The picture is an elevator is being lowered on a cable at constant speed. And the question is, how much work does the elevator do on the cable? How much work does the cable do on the elevator? Well, we're moving downwards. So as a vector, the velocity is downward. And now let's carefully draw a free body diagram for both objects. Here's the elevator. It has force of gravity downward, and it has the cable force, which we call tension, upwards, right? Those are the two forces on the elevator. What about the cable? Well, here's the cable. Like all cables, we imagine that it's massless. The force on the cable is the same The force of the elevator on the cable is downwards. This is the elevator and the cable are exerting forces on each other. We call that an action-reaction pair. It's covered by Newton's third law, which says the action and the reaction are equal and opposite. So the force on the elevator is evidently up because it's not accelerating down. Where the cable is keeping it from falling, the force on the cable must be equal and opposite to the force of the force of the elevator on the cable is equal and opposite to the force of the cable on the elevator because of third law. So we need the formula for the work done. The rate of doing work, dWt dt, that's also called the power. The formula for that is the force times the velocity, right? So what is the work done by the elevator, by the cable on the elevator? It's this cable tension T in the upward direction times the velocity, which is downwards. Okay, the elevator is moving downwards at some speed V. The cable tension is pulling upwards on the elevator, and so this works out to a negative number minus speed times the tension in the cable. That's the power rate of work that the cable is doing on the elevator. Why is that negative? Well, it's because the elevator is falling, and therefore it's losing potential energy. Its energy is getting smaller and smaller as it goes down. The kinetic energy isn't changing because the speed is constant, but its potential energy is decreasing. And by conservation of energy, we can see that the work done by the cable on the elevator must therefore be negative. The power of the elevator on the cable is a similar formula, but it's now the opposite force. The force of the elevator on the cable is in the downward direction. The elevator is pulling the cable down because it's heavy. And so this is minus T dot minus V, same velocity. And because there are two negative signs in this expression, it works out to a positive sign, TV. So the elevator is doing positive work on the cable. Another way of thinking about this is, since the elevator is falling, it's giving up potential energy, and we could harvest useful energy from the other end of the cable. Namely, we could use it to run a propeller or to run an electrical generator and create electricity or something like that. So the answer to this problem is the cable is doing negative work on the elevator, and the elevator is doing positive work on the cable. These two powers must be equal and opposite by conservation of energy. There's nothing else in the problem. The total energy has to be conserved. So whatever one of these numbers is negative, the other one must be equal and opposite. It must be equal and positive. Okay. Okay, a different kind of problem. We have a particle weighing 10 kilograms. It's initially at rest. And a force acts on it. We're told that the force has an expression, 3 newtons in the x direction plus 4 newtons in the y direction. So we have an xy coordinate system here. The force therefore points somewhere up in the first quadrant and kind of more in the y direction than in the x direction. And the force acts for a time, 2 seconds. And the question is, what is the speed of the particle? How do we calculate this? Well, it's F equals MA. So what's the acceleration? The acceleration is the force over the mass, and that's going to be 3 divided by 10 is 0.3 in the x direction, and then 4 divided by 10 is 0.4 in the y direction. And that's constant. Okay, this is a constant acceleration problem. If you have constant acceleration, how to calculate the velocity? Well, the formula is the initial velocity plus the constant acceleration times the time. We've got everything here now. The initial velocity is 0. The acceleration is this expression we just calculated, right? And the time is 2. So all we have to do is multiply this expression for acceleration by 2, and we'll get the velocity. And 2 times 0.3 is 0.6 in the I direction, plus twice 0.4 is 0.8 in the J direction. So that's the final velocity after 2 seconds. Once again, I've been punting on the units, but if you work out the units, this would all come out in meters per second. But we weren't asked for the velocity, we were asked for the speed. What is the speed? Well, it's the square root of vx squared plus vy squared. That's the same as the magnitude of the velocity vector. Okay, and so, we're going to have to take a square root. So let's see what happens. We have to take the square root of 0.6 squared plus 0.8 squared and do the math. 0.6 squared is 0.36. 0.8 squared is 0.64. And this is all meters per second. And look, do the math. 0.36 plus 0.64. You can do that math easily, and it's just 1. So this is just the square root of 1. Works out to 1 meter per second. So the answer is the particle is moving at 1 meter per second after this time. There's another way of thinking about this problem, which is a little bit easier. You could use a different coordinate system. You could say, okay, let's use a different coordinate system where the x and y axes are lined, the x axis is lined up with the force. And the y-axis is perpendicular to the force. And then it's now a one-dimensional problem, right? The particle just moving in the new x direction. So we can just treat it one-dimensionally. The only thing we have to do is figure out is the magnitude of the force. And the magnitude of the force, once again, we have to take the magnitude of this vector, so we need the square root. But that'll work out to the square root of 3 squared plus 4 squared, that's the square root of 9 plus 16, that's the square root of 25, and you will recognize the square root of 25 as just being 5. So the magnitude of the force is 5 newtons, and then if you just use F equals MA and V equals AT in one dimension, you quite quickly arrive at the same answer. 5 newtons times 2 seconds for 10 kilograms works out to 1 meter per second when you do that math. So you have to take a square root somewhere. You could do the problem either way, and it's about as hard either way, but you get the same answer either way. Okay, action and reaction, Newton's third law. Let's do another example of that. Let me clear out some space back here. We're told that a ball sits on a tabletop, and everything is just sitting there. Nothing's moving, but gravity is acting. So here's the floor, here's the table, here's the tabletop, and here's the ball sitting on the tabletop. And what you're asked, is there's a gravitational force on the ball, as you know, mg downwards. That's one of a pair of action-reaction forces. What is the other force? And what is the other one in that pair? Well, action and reaction in Newton's third law refers to two different bodies acting directly on each other. They're not acting through any intermediary. They're acting directly on each other. And so let's draw the free body diagram of the ball. What are the forces on it? There's mg downwards. There's some normal force upward. That's why it's not falling. As usual, the normal force we know will have to be equal and opposite to the gravitational force to keep the ball from falling. So the acceleration is zero, in other words. So you might be tempted to say N is the other force on that, but that's not right. Because in action and reaction, we have two different bodies. Acting directly on one another. And so if there's a gravitational force of the Earth on the ball, what is the other half of that pair? It has to be the gravitational force of the ball on the Earth. So just as the ball, just as the Earth is pulling down on the ball is pulling up on the Earth. We ordinarily don't notice that because the Earth is so big it doesn't move. But down here in the Earth, nonetheless, that force is acting. So for action and reaction pairs, there are two different bodies acting directly on each other. Review that carefully in the book because it's an important concept. Here's the ball, here's the Earth. They're acting on each other, and this is the action and reaction force. Yes, there's a table, but that's kind of an indirect object in this picture. It's not directly involved in the gravitational force on the ball. The ball doesn't feel gravity because the table is there. It would feel gravity no matter what, even if the table wasn't there, even if the table was lamp post instead of a table, even if nothing was there holding the ball up, the ball would then accelerate downward, but still it would have that very same gravitational force on it, which is due to the Earth and not to anything else. So the correct answer to this problem is the other half of the pair of action-reaction forces is the upward force that the ball exerts on the Earth. Okay, we're back to elevators. Do we still have our picture? Yeah, let's use the elevator picture again. We're not concerned about the forces now directly. Well, we are, but let me draw the picture more carefully. In this case, the elevator is being pulled upward at a constant velocity by the cable. Not downward, but upward. And so up at the top here, there must be some kind of spool driven by a motor that's pulling up the cable, and that causes the elevator to go up. And what we're asked about is, once again, not the work done, but the force. The cable has a certain tension in it, which is causing the elevator to move up and is offsetting gravity. And what we're asked is, what is the magnitude of the tension in the cable? How do we calculate that? Well, let's do a free body diagram of the elevator. What are all the forces on the elevator? Well, it's mg downwards, and it's tension upwards. And since the elevator is going up, your first thought may be, well, the tension has to be greater than the weight. That's not right. Why isn't it? Well, rather than just jump to a conclusion, we better use an equation. What's the equation? F equals ma, that's the total force on the elevator, is mass times the acceleration. What's the acceleration? It's zero, because the velocity is constant. So the total force has to vanish. What is the total force? Well, it's the tension minus mg. So tension minus mg is equal to zero. That means the tension in the cable is just mg. So this seems kind of surprising. If the elevator is just holding constant at a floor, it's just sitting there, it's clear that the tension in the cable has to be equal to mg, because the cable is holding the elevator up and keeping it from falling. That's fine. What we're finding here is if the elevator is going upwards at constant velocity, at constant speed, the tension is still just equal to mg. How could that be? Well, when the elevator first started to move upwards, if it's initially at rest, and then somebody pushes the up button and it starts going up, during that time when it's accelerating upwards, sure enough, you'll find that the tension has to be greater than the weight to get it going. But then once the elevator is up to speed and moving at constant speed, the tension is once again just equal to mg. So your initial thought was kind of half right, but it's right only when you consider the acceleration as the elevator starts to rise. Then the tension must be greater. Once the elevator achieves its final speed and it's just smoothly moving upward at constant speed, the tension is once again equal to just the weight of the elevator. And then finally, when the elevator starts reaching its floor and slows down and stops, the tension will be a little less than the weight for a short while. So it all works out, but you can't just jump to a conclusion. You have to do just a little bit of math, or a better way to say it is you really have to write down the equation for Newton's law and figure out what it means. Any other good problems? I think those are the main ones that are good to work on to review for the final. So I think we'll stop it there for the review of the midterms. Next week we'll do some more review for the final, of course, and we'll go over some more good examples. But I think that's it for the midterms right now.